encouragement on people, and boy, was I surprised the many articles that came out of that little search. There were plenty of studies done on adults and young people, and what caught my attention are the studies done on children. One of the studies, they hooked them up with some, whatever it is in their heads and in their bodies, and only to find out that their physical energy, parents, listen, for young parents with young children, their physical energy would increase more than it is already, okay, when they receive encouraging words. But when this study claims and proves that when discouraging words, not even words, just gestures were used, the energy level of these kids would drop immediately and dramatically. So the power of the encouraging words, eh? And also the gestures, the facial expressions, and all of that. Now, I'm convinced that this is most likely true of adults as well. And then I read of a story about a pastor leaving a church. And at his farewell dinner, he tried to encourage one of the founding members that looked very, very sad because he's leaving the pastorate. And the pastor said, "Don't be sad. The next preacher might be better than me." And then the old lady said, "Well, that's what they said before you came, but it keeps just getting worse." Oh, boy. So that's not very encouraging to hear, isn't it? So I wouldn't say that on my farewell dinner, if there will ever be one. But I'm not thinking of that. But I thought that was a little bit funny and not really very encouraging to say. All right. Folks, the truth is, we all need encouragement. Yes? The pastor needs encouragement. You need encouragement. And no matter what stage in life we are in, we all need encouragement. And so the reality is this life as we're living it now is full of discouragement, isn't it, Mommy? Everywhere you look, seemingly there's always something to be discouraged about. We have, of course, the calamities of our time. There's the war in Ukraine. There's mortgage prices, petrol prices, the out of stock of things. And then we drill down a little bit in our own household. We have some issues, relationships. And then some are having financial problems. Some are having health issues. And it seems that the world is full to the brim of discouragement. But by God's grace, beloved, and by His enablement, I'm trying to learn, as I'm sure you too as well, that what we say, a good word, a word of encouragement can inspire, can transform, and physically help people. Just a word fitly spoken. The power of words. And those of you who have had training on this, had spoken before people, and these words are powerful. It doesn't always work, of course, because we can easily be misunderstood. Despite our best efforts, it will just not be received as you intended it to be, encouraging words. Some people have already made up their minds about you, and no matter what you do, it seems that you just don't have that connection. You just can't penetrate because there's already a wall that people put in between them. But you see, beloved, we shouldn't stop trying. Just because that is the case, because we all need encouragement. We all like to receive encouragement, don't we? And when we receive it, just like those little children in the study, our level of energy just bounces up. Isn't it true? When somebody just gives you a word of encouragement at a perfect time, somehow it gives you the lift that you needed for that day or for that week, for that matter. We feel that others do care about us when they give us a word of encouragement. So tonight, we'll break off a little bit from the book of Psalms. We won't be in the book of Psalms tonight, but we will not digress from our theme, though, of be encouraged, okay? In fact, my desire and my prayer for all of us, and again, me first, is that we would have this encouragement about us to encourage others. This morning I was talking about input and output. It's good that we're learning the word, we're studying it, and we become diligent about it, and we start to build up knowledge, and we're growing in our understanding of the word. But beloved, that needs to go out. That shouldn't just stay within us, and knowledge puffeth us up. And we need to have that output, whatever we're learning and whatever we've been taught by the Lord and through the lessons and preachings and Sunday school and all that, that needs to go out. I've been missing out on Brother Branko's Sunday school lessons. And have you been recording it? And so living in reality, what a relevant topic. And so those things that you've been learning, and Cherry tells me the other day, there's even an object lesson. And boy, I love Branko's object lessons. They're funny in a way, but there's so much truth in it. So we need an output. And so tonight, I'd like us to be encouraged, but also for us to encourage others as well. You see, our faith is not just about absorbing. And learning only. There needs to be a way. We are to share what we've been learning and of course, practice what we learn. And so from time to time, you and I need someone to encourage us, to lift us up. And so tonight, I'd like to consider somebody whom you are already very familiar with in the Scripture. Now open your Bibles, please, to the book of Acts, chapter 4. Acts, chapter 4, and again, if you can, and if you're able, please stand as we read just two verses, Acts chapter 4, the last two verses of this from the times of the early church. Acts chapter 4, verse 36. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought it the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Shall we pray together, Father, as we would get to be reminded again of this one Joseph, surnamed as Barnabas. Oh, I pray, Lord, that it would indeed remind us of how and what it is to be an encourager for you. And Lord, that as we've been learning about being encouraged, and Lord, it is our desire that we would impart that encouragement to this world that is indeed hungry, oh, hungry for encouragement. May we be the people that would encourage someone this week, starting from our own homes, rather than ripping each other and talking down and telling things that are unkind. May we be people of kind words, encouraging words to each other, and indeed those that are without, those that are outside of the household of faith. So I pray tonight, over the next few minutes, that you will teach us your truth, and we would walk away from this place encouraged in our hearts and overflowing to the point that we would be motivated to encourage others as well. Be with us tonight. Meet with us, I pray. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Beloved, in that this time in the book of Acts, the Jerusalem church was just a young church at this stage. Thousands of people were getting saved, the Bible says, and thousands of people are getting baptized after they've been saved. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, prayer and fellowship. They had reverential fear, not only of the apostles, but also of God. And God himself, through the apostles, was giving wonders and signs at that time. Now understand that at the time of the early church, and indeed the writing of the book of Acts, the whole canon of scripture wasn't written yet. And therefore, how God would deal with the people at that time is different to how he would deal with us tonight. They don't have the full 66 books of the Bible, and they've got the laws of Moses, the first five books, and the New Testament, as it was, is starting to just be written at that time. And so there were signs and wonders that the Lord has been giving to the apostles to vindicate, to give authority to them by them being able to do signs and wonders. So that's what's happening at the early church at that time. The Bible said that all that believed were together and had all things in common. They sold their possessions and parted them to those that had need. They met daily. They were in one accord. That means they are in one mind. They were breaking bread and eating their meat from house to house. They were fellowshipping as we do today. They had gladness, and obviously they learned the Sermon on the Mount, for they had not only got gladness, but singleness of heart. And so it was an encouraging time. People were encouraged, and therefore they were encouraging one another as well. Don't you wish it is that in the churches of today? Don't you wish that we are at a time where people are in one accord, one mind, and one spirit, and there is encouragement that is happening all throughout the church? Oh, I've longed to be in a place like that. And you know, beloved, sometimes we can be too hard with ourselves, with our church, and we see all the negatives and the gaps and all the things that Zoe was saying. Oh, beloved, we should be thankful for each other. We're not perfect. We're on the way. We're a construction site. And when there's construction, there is heat, there is mess, there is debris, there is dirt. And somebody had to clean it up, and somebody had to make this mess to something beautiful. And one day it will be. It will be a church without spot, without wrinkle, blameless. And the Lord is doing that in our midst. But at that time, the early church, this is an encouraging time for them. And I wish sometimes that we would have that, and we do in some shape or form. But just like any other churches of the past, beloved, and indeed tonight, they had issues, as other churches do. And as we do, we know, of course, what has happened to this Jerusalem church after a while. It come to a point where they have difficulties in their own gathering. But you see, there was one Joseph in this congregation. The apostles surnamed, or really nicknamed him, Barnabas. Barnabas means the son of consolation, the son of encouragement. And the Bible says he, having land, sold it and brought the money at the apostles' feet. And just as a side note here, keep an eye on how the language of Scripture there, he did not control what he gave. He sold it, he put it on the apostles' feet, and he allowed them to do what needed to be done. He didn't put any caveat into what he gave. He allowed them to distribute as God would lead them. But tonight, I don't want us to focus on what he gave and how he gave it. I want us to focus on Barnabas, or Joseph, being an encourager. You see, beloved, back then, nicknames had meaning. Names had meaning. parents actually take the time to evaluate what they would name their child. Because under the Jewish way of doing things, whatever that they have regarded or have prayed before Jehovah or Yahweh, is they desire that for their child. And so their mom and dad will try their very best to raise that child to live up to his name. You know, they just don't make up the name like X squared to whatever it is that Elon Musk's child is named after. They think of what they would name the child. It's important for them. And so here we have this man, Joseph. The apostles nicknamed him as the encourager. And they may have seen this in Joseph, that spiritual gift of encouragement. I look around you tonight in more ways than one. And every moment, at some point or another, you have been a dispenser of encouragement to me personally, and I know to my family as well. And I have heard of people telling me that brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so have been an encouragement to me. And it is a gift. Not everyone has got the desire or the spirit and the willingness to be an encourager. We should. But the truth is, not all of us have got the tenacity and perhaps the consistency to be an encourager. And so Joseph must have manifested this. And so people have identified it, and so they called him as the son of consolation. How the church needs a plenty of Barnabas in this our time. You agree? Oh, how we need people that will be Barnabas, encouragers. You see, throughout the scriptures, everywhere that you would see Barnabas, and I challenge you to do this, everywhere that you will see Barnabas and everywhere he went, you will find that he remained the same, an encourager. Take, for example, Acts chapter 11. This time, we will read from verse 22. Let's go there, please. Acts chapter 11, and we'll read from verse 22. Then tidings of these things, okay, we'll take that in a moment. The tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. Now, what are these things, okay? These tidings, this news, in verse 19, it's talking about the death of Stephen, okay? And the persecution of the church, which have resulted in many believing and turning their lives unto the Lord in verse 21, okay? So here's a lesson for us tonight, beloved. One of the results of persecution of the church is many will believe in salvation. And not only that, but many will also turn their life unto the Lord. The inference there is those that are already believers will turn their life unto the Lord. Now, I am concerned sometimes, and just allow me some indulgence tonight. I'm concerned sometimes that we busy ourselves fighting against the persecution of the church. I say that respectfully, and I understand the sentiment why we would fight against the persecution of the church. But I wonder, is it possible that the Lord, just like he did in the past, that he has allowed or is allowing his people to suffer persecution in order for them to turn their lives back unto the Lord, okay, and for many to be saved through persecutions and indeed preaching of the gospel? Possible? And yet sometimes we busy ourselves fighting against the persecution of the church. Peter said that. He warned us about it. It's all over written in prophecy. And so sometimes I pause and wonder, why do we stick our nose when it doesn't need to be there? And somehow we raise our arms in protest about the persecution of the church. And look, it, rightly so. All right? However, allow in our hearts that it may well be that God, as He did in the past, allowed His people to go through pain and suffering to get their attention and turn their lives back unto Him. You see, our natural tendency, beloved, is if things are going well, if there's so many zeros in the bank after the first number, okay, and if health is good, relationship is fine, and everything is cruising along, who needs God? We cruise through life and we forget that there is this provider of the gift, and we get so hung up on the gift that we forget the giver. And so sometimes I believe that persecution is in order. In fact, you would hear me preach about the blessedness of being persecuted for righteousness' sake. I say it again, it is not through protests, but by prayer and preaching, and yes, through persecutions even, that lives are changed and turned unto the Lord, and how we miss it so horribly wrong too many times. Far too many times. Here was Joseph, sent by the church in Jerusalem to Antioch. Note that when he came here in verse 23, what he saw was not the persecution. Did you notice that? What we saw was the grace of God. And because of the grace of God, he was glad, the Bible says. It's all about perspective, isn't it? You and I can be looking at a glass that is either half full or half empty, but it's the same glass. It depends on how we look at situations in life. Joseph, being an encourager that he is, or he was, he looked at, when he visited Antioch, what he initially saw was not the persecution. He saw the grace of God. I had people over lunch, and what a wonderful time of fellowship we've had. And I was sharing to this lady how throughout COVID and the pandemic, the Lord somehow has spared us. We've not lost anyone. No one died of COVID. Now, regardless of your persuasions about COVID and vaccination, it doesn't matter. I'm looking at it from a perspective of a pastor that none of the flock lost their lives over COVID. We can argue, well, there it is, it's not true, this, that, and the other. Enough of that. Fact of the matter is, God has been gracious to us that He spared us that people didn't lose their lives on COVID. I know of churches that did have. I know of pastors that had funeral services. God's been good to us, folks. None of us lost our lives on COVID. And so here, Joseph saw the grace of God. Notice what Joseph exhorted or encouraged the believers to do. That with purpose of heart, okay, with purpose of heart, not protest against persecution, but purpose of heart, they would cleave. They would continue unto the Lord. Notice the language of the inspired word of God here. Verse 24, for he was a good man. That's the description. A good man and full of, for he was a good man and full of rage. Full of hate? Oh no, Bible says that he is full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. Notice now the result of his ministry of encouragement there at Antioch. Much people was added unto the Lord. You see, beloved, you and I can never be an encourager if our hearts are full of hate. Rather, that it be being full of faith and our lives lived, filled, not just indwelt, but rather filled by the Holy Spirit. Oh, would we be a Barnabas tonight? Okay. Notice now Joseph, even in times of disagreement, he didn't stop being an encourager. Now, turn to Acts chapter 15, please. Acts chapter 15, beginning here in 36, verse 36. And you know the account here. Acts chapter 15, verse 36. And some days after Paul said unto Barnabas, here it is, him again, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. This is a big task. Okay, in every city. They have started churches. They didn't just zip into a car and drove off to this every city. This is a hard and treacherous journey. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. He deserted them. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. Okay. So, Paul didn't want to take John Mark with them. For John Mark, at this time in his life, was a quitter. Okay? Perhaps Paul did not want to work with a quitter. Perhaps Paul was so focused with the job at hand, and he wanted to do things for the Lord, and he had no time to deal with somebody who had some baggage. There was a ministry, and in every city to be done, John Mark, perhaps in Paul's mind, wasn't ready. Perhaps he thought there needs to be some more spiritual growing that John Mark needs to undertake. Perhaps those growing things first need to be accomplished in him. And so he didn't want to take him with them. Now, I'm not saying that that is what happened. I'm just saying that that is plausible. That could be one of the reasons. On the other hand, here was Joseph, okay, a good man, the Bible says, always an encourager, was determined to take John Mark with them after he deserted them at Pamphylia. He let them down, no bones about it. Okay? But perhaps Joseph wants to give John Mark a second chance. He wants to give him a chance to prove himself. Perhaps Joseph saw in John Mark what Paul didn't or refused to see. Okay? Perhaps in Joseph's mind, this is just a young man who is a good man, but just needed a lift, just needed an encouragement. But Paul, being Paul, perhaps didn't want to deal with that. You know, he was so focused on what he had to do for the Lord. And look, you've let me down, and you know, I don't have time to deal with this because I'm going from every city. I've got a job to do. So focused, this, that, and the other. Maybe sometime when you grow up or matured a little bit. Possible. Well, beloved, whatever Joseph Barnabas did with John Mark worked. Because the quitter ended up writing the Gospel of Mark, which is a very integral part of the entire Scripture. You read the Gospel of Mark and you see the description of the Lord Jesus is so unique from Matthew, from John, and even from Luke. A very good gospel to read. And so John Mark ended up becoming a different person. Okay, years later, Paul himself asked for John Mark. Yes, that one that he left behind. Yes, that one that he said, I don't want to take him because he's a quitter. Later on in Paul's ministry, he said, send Mark, for he was profitable unto me. Somewhere along the line, Joseph encouraged this young man who was a quitter and became one of the integral writers that God would use to inspire to produce the Gospel of Mark. So much so that Paul, later on in his ministry, realized this guy was profitable for me. Send him. It's amazing how God works. And so, beloved, we need to learn to not write off people. And yes, they will disappoint us. And yes, we will be disappointed on them. And perhaps they will be disappointed with us. But let's not become a person that writes people off, regardless of the disagreements. Paul and Barnabas have had a sharp contention. The Bible records it that Barnabas remained an encourager. Look at me when I say this. We will not always agree. We're all mortals. Fallible we are. But even in our disagreements, let us not become so bitter that we will write somebody off. And we will say bad things about somebody. Oh, beloved, remember the John Marks of today. You be an encourager. I be an encourager, even in times of disagreement. Whether Paul was wrong about John Mark at the time, we don't know, and we will never know. Eternity will tell, but the point here is, we will not always agree, but even when we don't, let us not stop being an encourager rather than a discourager. I wasn't there, but judging from the character of both Paul and Joseph, this man, I believe, would not have focused on the dispute and in the discouragement. It is my submission to you tonight, but both of them, both of these men, they took together with them who they wanted to take in their ministry, and they just moved on and focused on the task that God has given to them. Because we know when Paul went to Syria with Silas, and then the call to Macedonia, that whole missionary journey was profitable for Paul. You study the missionary journeys of Paul, that time was very profitable for Paul. So if God was angry or did not approve of what Paul did, why was that missionary journey so profitable for him? And then on the other hand, here is Joseph taking Mark, encouraging him, and he ends up writing the Gospel of Mark. Beloved, listen. God knows what he's doing. And you and I really are to be submitted to his will. And there's no point about having a barney on things that in the context of eternity does not matter. But oh, how we miss it, don't we? We get so hung up and so focused on the things that really we shouldn't be hanging ourselves about. And so be an encourager, okay? Be a somebody who will take someone up and lift them together and be with them, because we just don't know what the Lord will do. Barnabas, let's just take a time to define some terms. The son of consolation, the son of encouragement. Paraklesis, from the word parakaleo. It means to call near or to be on one's side. to be a comfort, to entreat, to strengthen is the idea. And so to be an encourager like Joseph is to call near or to be on someone's side, to lift that person up rather than tearing that person down. Okay? Over the remaining minutes of our time tonight, I'd like to explore with you how we can become encouragers. And I won't take that long. On the outset, let me just say, different people have different ideas on how to encourage. Okay? What I want us to understand tonight, and I believe the word parakaleo means is to encourage someone, to lift up one, not at the expense of tearing somebody down. That is not the meaning of that word. Okay? I believe lifting somebody up is important, but not at the expense of tearing the other one down. I don't believe for one moment that though that Joseph and Paul had a sharp contention amongst them, they didn't focus on the dispute, on this, the discouragement, and they focused on the task at hand. And so God blessed both of them. And eternity will tell what went on with these two. And so I believe the first thing we must realize if we are to be a Barnabas is that encouragement must be spoken. Okay? It doesn't do us any good just to think good about a person and not tell them. Yeah? We need to communicate to people in order for us to be an encouragement. Now, whether that is written, whether that is verbal, we need to let them know. We need to learn to speak and utter words of encouragement, and we need to take those opportunities to do so, to practice on the learning. Now, you're in Acts chapter 15. Turn back a couple of pages to Acts chapter 13. Here in verse 15. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, ye men and brethren, if ye have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. This is, of course, Paul and James, Joseph, before they separated themselves for the work of the ministry. They arrived at Antioch, and as Paul's custom was, he went into the synagogue for to worship the Yahweh and Jehovah, all right, or the Lord, I should say. After reading the law of the prophets, notice what the rulers of the synagogue, I believe those are the elite. In every synagogue, beloved, there is a rabbi. There are what we would call officers of the church, the deacons, the treasurers, marked men in each of the synagogue, okay? And so these were the rulers of the synagogue. And upon seeing Paul and Barnabas, they said to them, if ye have any word of exhortation, if you have any word of encouragement, say on. And so, to be an encourager, we need to speak. We need to utter that word of encouragement. Those people, beloved, were looking for words of encouragement, and so do we. In these our time, our soul is parched. We are hungry and thirsty for words of righteousness, words of encouragement in these our day. And beloved, perhaps you be the Barnabas in these our time. You be the son of consolation in this body of congregation. Perhaps be like Paul in that synagogue at Antioch and stand up and say words of encouragement. Words that will build up rather than turn down. Words that will unite. Words that will motivate us to be one in Christ. Words that encourage rather than discourage. Remember the power of the words. You see, beloved, It is far too easy to speak ill, to speak words of discouragement. Very easy. And this world is full of people like that. That they live their day in speaking about discouraging words. It's far too easy to put somebody down. Many are already doing that. Okay. Without and within the household of faith, sadly. Saints and sinners alike are guilty of this. But time and again, the Bible warned us about this. James chapter 3, verse 2 to 6. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits into the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. Oh, beloved, let us be careful with the words and what we say. Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. These days, it is just not what we actually say, but listen, what we post on social media. You realize what you thumbs up and what you like, you approve of, you agree with that post. And but you say, Pastor, I just forwarded that message from so and so. Well, the fact that you forwarded it means you agreed with what that person said. And you're encouraging those ones that you forwarded that message to agree with you or support what you believe is right. You have sanctioned that communication, and therefore you are encouraging others to agree or do the same. Back in Jesus' day and back in the time of the apostles, they don't have social media. It's by mouth. These days, beloved, be careful what you post, what you forward, what you text carries your approval. And that means those communications could either be edifying or discouraging to the recipients. Again, let me warn you, in love, of course, not everything that you see in the internet is credible and infallible. Okay? They're not always accurate. These are written by fallible men, and more often than not, what they write or post are coming from their own persuasions. Now, I'm a premillennial, pre-tribulational, fundamental independent Baptist minister, and I will always be one. And whatever I will post, whatever I will preach, whatever I will be teaching is bound in that doctrine, because that's what my conviction is, and that's what I'm standing on until the time that glory I would go. And therefore, whatever I write is akin to that persuasion. Now, just because Malari said so, that it means infallible. No. I'm just a man. And so when you decipher the things that you are posting, emailing, forwarding, or liking, or thumbs-upping in social media, be very sure that what you approve of and what you're communicating to others around there is edifying, is accurate, is godly. Sometimes the Facebook is a source of discouragement. So be careful, is what I'm saying. We encourage others by our communication. And therefore, what we write and what we say these days have a far more implication than what you and I probably realize. Consider this. Once it is in the World Wide Web, WW, it's there forever. We're all going to be 6 feet under one of these days. But whatever I said, whatever I preached that is recorded and it's in sermon audio for years to come will haunt me or will be a blessing, hopefully, that when I'm no longer on this earth, these messages are still going to ring the glory of God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. But I got to be careful that what I say from this pulpit is what I approve of or what I sanction. Because what I say impacts not only myself, my family, but you, and indeed the World Wide Web that's listening and watching to me right now. And so our communication, beloved, is very, very important. Are they encouraging words? And so we encourage others by our communication, but we also encourage others by or with our actions. Have you heard this before? Actions speak louder than words. Biblically speaking, these two go hand in hand. They cannot be separated. We encourage each other by our action as well as our words. You're in Acts 13 now. Turn back to Acts chapter 9. And here we have that famous chapter of the conversion of the Apostle Paul. Here we see Barnabas again in action, chapter 9, verse 26 to verse 27. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples. That means he wanted to be with the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas, verse 27, took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, that's the Damascus way, and that he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Barnabas, there you go again. Again, you know this narrative. The believers were afraid of Paul. They were skeptical about Paul, who was still called Saul at this time, because Saul was known to be a persecutor of the church, not a follower of Jesus. And therefore, the disciples, the Christians back in the day, are kind of weary. They didn't want to believe him that he's actually truly converted. And so Barnabas, praise God, for every Barnabas in any church tonight, he took Paul, he brought him, he just didn't send him, he came with him, he just did not speak for him. No, beloved, he came and he stood by him. That is encouragement in action. Now is Paul remembered this time when he decided not to take John Mark? It was the same person who stood by him when the disciples didn't want to know him. And then when it came to John Mark, didn't want to know it. You would think that, and I don't know if Joseph said, Paul, I did this to you before. Why would you not take John Mark? I'm standing, I'm vouching for him just like I did vouch for you. I don't know whether that conversation happened, but Paul obviously must have forgotten what has happened to him. That somebody like Joseph stood for him and by him. You see, sometimes I'm concerned, we already know what is right. We already know what to do, but somehow we withhold. Perhaps out of fear of man, what they would think of us, and so we would rather stay silent. We would allow others to be sacrificed because of our silence. We don't want to get involved, we say. But beloved, to be an encourager is to be involved. To be involved in someone's life, supporting them, staying with them, and standing with them. Allow me some indulgence. I know I've taken more than I should. But tonight, and again, please do not read in what I'm about to say. This is just confessions, if you like. And it's easier to use myself as an example. My wife always warns me about this, but I'll take a risk again tonight. You know, sometimes I receive a card from someone. It's not a birthday card. It's just a card. But in that card is a word fitly spoken. An encouraging card. An appreciation card. I'm sure that person had a million other and better things to do than writing a card to Pastor Manny. Many times people think, oh, he's a pastor or a pastor's wife. He doesn't need or they don't need encouragement. You have no idea what a simple card means to a servant of Christ. I'm not crying poor, or I'm not trying to get your sympathy. Because of what I do, I have access, of course, to some statistics of the top reasons why pastors would leave a church or quit the ministry altogether. I've seen it far too many times. Sometimes I don't want to even open this newsletters because it's quite discouraging and disturbing. Did you know, beloved, the number of pastors affected and actually quitting are staggering. The reasons, of course, are varied from country to country and the sizes of the church. Some quit due to sickness. Some leave the ministry because of family issues. They've been disqualified. Some leave because they feel that the church don't recognize them financially and they had to do another job. Some leave because of church issues. But do you know what is the most common on all of these statistics? Discouragement. Not the money. Not the work itself. It's discouragement and disharmony between the pastor and his flock. And that's why people leave. Now again, don't read in what I'm saying. I'm just stating the facts here. Sometimes I would receive a folded paper with some child's scribble on it. My eyes is like this. And it's so round because pastor is got a big tummy. One of Kyra's drawing, there's even an arrow pointing to my tummy. Too much rice. Somebody would hand me that little paper. It would be in our fridge sometimes. We love you, Pastor. Little child. What would they know? But you know how that gives you a lift? Gives you the bounce? Because some poor little child who's got no comprehension of how church works, in his mind, he just wants to write to the pastor. Sometimes this encouragement comes through text. A little encouraging word. A simple phone call. Not for anything else. Just a check-in. How you going, Pastor? I know this person is busy. He's probably got a million other things to do. But he would find it within himself, oh, I just want to ring you. How are you going? Yes, cards. Encouragement. Some would come by our place, just drop a meal. Didn't ask them. I can cook. But for no other reason at all. They're busy as it is with their young family, but they would come. And there was even a time a couple came to our church. They went out for the night. They had a wonderful time as husband and wife. They enjoyed the meal together, so much so that they enjoyed what they ate. And they said, we're going to take some out. We'll bring it to pastor. You know what? They came and they watched us eat. And I asked them, why you do this? Because we enjoyed this meal and we want you to enjoy. I'm not saying this because I want you to come and bring me some meal, okay? I'm telling you, these are encouragement in action. And it puts me to shame sometimes. Because these are things that I should do. And so tonight I'm encouraging us from these little precious ones to us as adults. We all need some lifting up. There were times that we just need that encouragement, that lift. And we just don't know what each and every one is going through. And so in closing, let me just say this. On June 18, 1956, a freak accident happened at Scroon Lake in New York. A speeding motorboat bounced on a wave of choppy waters and two of its passengers, a 50-year-old man, and a little girl fell overboard. To keep this little girl from drowning, the elderly man held her head above water while waiting for the boat to turn back. Tragically, the girl was rescued, but the man sunk and drowned. That man that drowned was Dawson Trotman, the founder of the Navigators, an international discipleship ministry initially to the U.S. Navy. Time magazine was quoted as saying of him, quote, he lived to save others, end of quote. During his funeral, Billy Graham was quoted as saying, his death was just the way he would have planned it. He died just the way he lived, always lifting someone up. Wouldn't that be nice to be said of us? I don't want to lift Dawson Trotman and Barnabas for that matter more than I would the Lord Jesus. The Lord is really the ultimate one who lived to save others, the greatest encourager of all time. But beloved, we need some Trotmans and Barnabas in our lives today. And may I encourage us tonight? Would that be our legacy? That the people that will follow us will find us, yes, faithful. Will find us strong in the doctrines of our faith. Oh, but they would find us also encouragers. Would you be a Barnabas? A son of consolation tonight. You see, if we'd only be true to ourselves, we know of people that needs encouragement. But perhaps we become unlike the Good Samaritan. We just walk ahead. We ignore this person that really needs our lifting up, our encouragement. May we be the one to be a Joseph for Jesus.